Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Awesome to see each one of you here. Weren't you blessed by Kalani and the whole worship team? Give them a big clap. It's great to have you, Kalani. Thank you for coming. And remember, as our friend Ed Sullivan used to say, right here on our show, tomorrow, tell your neighbor, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a special, just dedicated worship time to the Lord. We are inviting each one of you to come, all right, and tell whole bunches of friends. Okay, now, I'll tell you, I appreciate different aspects of the internet, but being able to communicate on Twitter and Facebook. So share with your friends, invite them on this awesome night of praise and worship tomorrow. But we already had it, right? Even this morning. How many of you enjoyed it? Glory. So, while you are standing, for a moment, you thought you could sit down. Anyway, raise your hands. Praise God. We're going to shout out to God, Apostles' Creed. Say after me, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived with the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I believe in Jesus. I believe in his resurrection. Therefore, I believe in miracles, signs, wonders, breakthroughs. I'm claiming and believing for a miracle and a breakthrough for myself, for my family, for my children, for my neighbor. I declare breakthrough in Jesus' name. Now turn to your neighbor, say breakthrough. Turn to your other neighbor, say signs and wonders. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and then sit down. Praise God. We are so delighted to see each one of you. And I believe we are seeing certain prophetic things happening, and you want to be in tune with these things and receive and then be a steward. I believe God is pouring out his Spirit, and according to his promise. We said, and by the way, there is a logic behind it. Is very important that these declarations we make together, they have power. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of it. So his presence comes as there are two or more. So there is a greater intensity of God's presence as we gather in a corporate way, in a community. God himself, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So God is an awesome community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit himself. So God is one, but God is in three persons, Trinity. Anyway, as we declare the energy that we emanate, as we make declarations, it's important for us to speak it forth, to declare it. It is like, we're going to celebrate 41 years Wow. Thank you, Michael, for reminding me. Faithful assistant and associate Heather will confirm that I discussed my anniversary to what we are getting different, making list of how I need to appreciate my wife. Men cannot just assume, well, and gentlemen, just kind advice. Just a card on your anniversary will not do. Go a little extra. Much extra. And just amazing. I have, God allowed me to marry one of the most amazing, amazing women. I was fortunate, lucky, I should say, but blessed more than anything. And I'm so glad I heard from the Lord. I do not regret one day. Anyway, but if you love your wife, you go to express it. And don't just presume on it. Wives, aren't you glad I'm giving some advice in that area? Flowers. Whatever, doesn't matter. Chocolate, other things, expensive rings, if it's the proper time. Anyway, glory to God. So, but if we believe something, it is important, and there is an anointing when you speak it forth. So it is not enough to just think it. And men, more so than women, are more kind of just their personalities are made up such that they keep it inside. And we want to release it. So coming to church and expressing worship and praise and talking, it's good for all of it. But ladies, drag your men. If they feel like, you're going to come with me. So, I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're going to read some from the Word of God and meditate and be in conjunction with what I feel like the Lord is doing in our midst in this hour. But I want to try to dismiss you around 12, 10 or 12, something like that. So we're going to go a little speedily, but I want to put this in context as to the now. Now, Lord, it says in prayer, the church prays in Acts 4 and says, now, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, Lord, say now, Lord. So it's great what the Lord has done in the past, what he's going to do, but I am claiming and I'm praying for and I'm agreeing with you for now breakthroughs for your family, for ourselves, for his church, and even for our nations. Glory to God. I was so proud when a few days ago, the president went to France to honor not only their day of Independence Day or whatever the Bastille Day, which is the most important day of the year for celebration, national celebration for France, but they invited the President of the United States and the First Lady to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the U.S. Army, Armed Forces, coming to help them and keep France free in the First World War. So that's it was 100 years ago. But by the way, the First Lady is quite an elegant lady, isn't she? Have you seen her? I said, Ooh, I don't really even look at her dress budget. You know, every time I see her, she has some of the most amazing outfits she wears. They say it's has a lot of meaning behind it. By the way, I know we have, how many visitors here this morning? Wave your hand. Put up there. There is, where is our friend Peter Barrett from New Zealand? Wave your hand. Where are you? Hi, all the way from New Zealand. Welcome, my friend. Great. That's where the hobbits live, by the way. New Zealand. yes. That's where the Fellowship of Tolkien's Christian trilogy, the Lord of the Rings, was filmed there in New Zealand. So, and there is like Hobbiton is there. Just take note. So if you greet Peter, to ask him, how are the hobbits doing? But Friday, I was pointing out that this, it was, I guess, Monday, though it's could be, you know, could go on a few dates, but on Monday, something important happened that we as a church and as a watch of the Lord have been praying for quite a while. And some of you may remember, those who have been here, by the way, again, we want to emphasize that on Friday nights here, you are invited, your friends are invited, and your friends' friends to come and come together to pray for our nation, pray for our armed forces, pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. There's a special blessing. He says there's a kind of prosperity that comes from praying for the peace of Jerusalem. That's a different category of prosperity. So we all do all of that and pray for our local area. And it's very biblical to watch and pray. So I want to invite you to that. But I shared this last Friday where we were watching and praying about the significance of something that happened, that the Iraqi president declared the second largest city called Mosul that had been taken over by the Islamic terrorist army called ISIS, and that it is the wickedest evil force, the ISIS force, the Islamic terrorist army, radical as you. People have not seen that such cruelty, and I don't want to focus on that because there was a lot of beheadings, crucifixions, all horrible things. And America has been helping Iraq and about 68 plus nations helping them to set the captives free. So those who lived in that region of Iraq and Syria that are under this evil, evil, demonic terrorist army were set free on Monday. They were really defeated. The force was defeated, and officially the Prime Minister of Iraq declared it free of the ISIS terrorists. So, amen. God really answered prayer. But I asked on Friday, and then I will share again, just as an addendum to what I'm sharing, that the message the Lord laid on my heart for this morning is that this Mosul is really the province of ancient Nineveh. So, and some of you may remember the classic story in the Old Testament of Jonah. Remember, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and God said, go to Nineveh. It's 500 miles east. And Jonah, talk about the chicken spirit entering him. He ran directly the opposite way, 2,000 miles. I am going to get as far away from God's command as I can. And God confronted him and had him have a little visit with the fish, and he was swallowed. Some of you may remember the old Bible story of Jonah being swallowed by a fish, and that's where the sailors are almost forced into throwing him overboard. You could get the tape or the CD or look it up on our website, my message on Friday night. And then in the belly of the whale, he has a revelation, and he seeks the Lord. He gives thanks to the Lord. He prays. And that, by the way, I mentioned something I want to mention to you, that there is no darkness, no negative situation in your life that can ever, the devil can never prevent you from praying. No darkness can hold you back from praying. Prayer to the Lord God Almighty will always reach the living God. So however, whatever complicated situation you may be under, you can always reach out in prayer to the living God. But as he prays and as he thanks the Lord and as he exercises his praise and thanksgiving and worship, the Lord makes the fish throw him up. And I also explained, by the way, that as he is thrown up on the shores, not far away, can head towards Nineveh, that you would think, oh man, you would be so stinky if you had 3 days in the fish's stomach. But it's the opposite from my impression of it, is that the most expensive perfume is made, I mean, it's surprising, it's made from whale vomit. So when a whale vomits, it produces ambergris. So some time back, I got hold of a little bit of very expensive perfume, and I passed it around to the congregation. I said, what do you think of this? And a little extract of whale vomit. So Jonah smelled good. But the reason we talk about that book is Nineveh was going to be judged by God, that whole province, and that city was very wicked. And then suddenly something awesome and amazing, perhaps the greatest incident in the Old Testament of revival. That is, we talk about revival where that presence, God's presence comes down to be with you, to be with your family, to be over the city, over the nation, and it changes the culture. Transforms a person. So what we need, therefore, by the way, we are one of the big plagues that our nation has been hit by is the plague of opioid addiction. So there are almost no family out of two families, one will have had an attack in the area of addiction, especially now it's a new wave of opioid addiction. We used to have cocaine, we used to have heroin, now and methamphetamines, and now it's just vast amounts of pills being just given out where people get addicted. Finest people, middle-class people. I mean, it's not like, well, only the poor or the uneducated. No, it's from every level of society. I mean, from governors and corporate heads and all that, their families have been affected by that, and it's like a plague. But when revival comes, it transforms people. It sets them free. That's part of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I've come to set the captives free. Say, he has come to set the captives free. So we prayed Friday, and even now, this morning, we declared that the Lord was setting free people under the yoke of addiction. But it's as a result of the presence of God, of the reviving aspect of the presence of God. So even this morning, God wants to revive you, transform your family, and give them breakthrough. And so that spirit is here. Now, that is what is represented in that then is Nineveh was the classic city of people turning to God from the king onward to the lowest chicken. I mean, they went on a fast. They declared a fast, 40 days. They repented. They were going in the direction of wickedness, and they turned away from wickedness. Say, Lord, we are convicted. Lord, we have been wicked. We accept that we have sinned, and now, Lord, we want to seek your face. So that turnaround and that complete change of direction, it means you have to begin somewhere. So it's not that I'm totally transformed, but I've chosen to change my direction. From this direction, I'm completely going in the opposite direction. I choose God. I choose to be not wicked, but I am going to be godly. I'm going to reverence God. And and as you walk in the different direction, the Spirit of God comes to help all of us walk in the transformation where God gives grace and mercy, and day by day we are being sanctified. The thing that helps us so awesome, that is the event of Calvary, that Jesus comes through his shed blood. He sets us free, and the yoke is broken. The curse is broken because of the experience of Jesus. He shed blood so that the curse, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham, you're coming out of the cursed territory, now you're walking into the light territory, into that whole realm of blessing. And that's what the Nineveh chose. And this was about 3,000 years ago that amazing thing happened with the whole Jonah experience. And so now, in recent days, there has been brokenness and all kinds of war and hurt and pain in those Middle Eastern nations like Iraq and Syria. But I want you to know, some of these are lands mentioned in the Bible. There are ancient promises. But one of the things then, principles in Bible, is as in the natural, so in the spiritual. And we often talk about, well, prophetically this means this and this. And so I wanted to kind of get a prophetic signal for us, for our families, for our nation, and for the nations who are open to hearing the voice of the Lord, that as this week then, this last week, as the Lord had mercy on Mosul and gave them, through the efforts of the Iraqi forces and the coalition forces, especially important point was the American, the airplanes and American forces guiding and mentoring the Iraqi forces. That was the main reason. They had the techniques, the way to set that region and that city of Mosul free. I wanted to take a minute to let you, do you have that video of this? It talks about what these people did as soon as they were got free. Look at that video. I hope we can have it. So for long season, the terrorists would not allow. I mean, they blew up most churches, and they locked up, although they could not worship. And there were multiple thousands of Christians. As you may, some of you may remember Ken and Andrew White, who this church helped tremendously. We have, by the way, a lot of investment, prayer and finances in helping the Christians in that region. And we helped set free medical care for Christians and Muslims through St. George's Church. But we have helped that work. And there were a lot of incidents of how we did what we could, in not only in prayer, but finances, to help these people. But thousands of Christians and Yazidis and even Shia Muslims were massacred by these horrible terrorists. So it's a terrorist army. And so to see them defeated and then to see this week, the Christians set free to worship, and they can come out to finally not have threats of beheadings and all that, that could come and worship. It is something that God is now has set free Nineveh once again. So this is Nineveh that he set free and blessed. So that is a prophetic message for us. Something, just think of those. Those people could not even go to church. Many of them suffered horribly. But suddenly there is free. As they are free, the first thing they do is run to the church, unlock the doors, and come and worship the living God. That we are so blessed, and that is an important aspect of our freedom nationally. And I sensed that God, that this is one of the words God gave, and he points us, what did I do in Nineveh? Remember that. I gave them revival. It's a good term, that they turn on mass. It's seldom in any city has happened what happened in Nineveh is a prototype of a revival in the Old Testament, hitting where the Spirit of God touched everyone. And it says everyone fasted from the king onward to the poorest person, and then they made the sheep and the camels and the chickens fast. So they even, I mean, talk about the sheep going, man, what are you saying? I am hungry. So they were all fasting. And yet God heard their cry and turned them from darkness into light and into blessing. So I do want to get to the scripture here. So this is what the Lord is doing. He is restoring and reviving. And as this is the season then that we see, not only just for Iraq, but for us, that we appreciate what we have and run and get to the presence of God and say, Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. And I felt a sense of fresh breath over our relationship with the living God, that if you've gotten dried up, the Spirit of God is coming to activate you once again in the anointing. God's promise in Acts 1:8, I will pour out, Acts 1, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then God says, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So here it is. We're at this time, and God says, I am going to revive you once again. Look at Nineveh. I am setting it free. The people who lived in great darkness and shadow are being set free. In the same manner then, as the nations will look to me, I am reviving them once again. So I am want to take that as a prophetic signal for us to be triggered into a new sense of revival, and with revival, that I'm so glad that Lord allowed Kalani to come and we were able to have her here. But she represents, and even this morning, that God is reviving our relationship with him. God is reviving families, and with that revival then it comes setting the captives free, deliverance and healing and prosperity and blessing. It's being revived once again, that whatever brokenness there is, if you see pictures of devastation during the Second World War, and then you see the cities bustling and beautiful, productive, that you can. God is the one who restores broken lives, broken homes, broken businesses, broken finances, and he is doing it right now. I want to get in line. Say, for us, Lord, don't forget us, that you are doing this mighty work, and you are going to give a revival for my children, that they're going to come back to the Lord, that you're going to transform our souls, that where there is deliverance needed or healing, physical, or the replenishment of our finances, where the enemy is attacked, God is giving us a chance to be revived. So in that context then, as you saw even the hierarchies running, some of the first things they did was, we get a chance to worship God. And they go run to the church and start bowing. Those what you saw were ancient Christians. Those are people who live in Mosul, are descendants of those Assyrians who responded to the living God in Nineveh. And Andrew White told us, when the elections were allowed to come after Saddam Hussein fell, is that there was a parliament established. But there were, you would expect in that big nation, that all are Muslims who are elected. No, sir. The people from Mosul elected a whole bunch of Christian representatives. So only representatives that were Christian in the Iraqi parliament were the ones from Nineveh. So they were still following the Lord. After 3,000 years, they had just wonderful worship of the living God. So he is reviving. And in that context, then I wanted to just add one of the important aspects that he's reviving in our lives is the revival of worship and praise. And then it is going to be connected, by the way, with revival of finances and the blessings of prosperity. It says in 2 Samuel 6 then, verse 1, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Bel Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahiah, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. So we won't take me too much time to talk about that. The ark had been captured by the Philistines. Ark represented the presence of God, the presence of worship, all of that, their heritage, what Moses had told, how this is the way you worship, and that learn in the tabernacle. It's a tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness, about the ark, which the ark of his presence. If you want a fresh picture of it, you can go to the first Raiders of the Lost Ark. That is talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And at the end, the power of the ark is released. I mean, this is just a fiction story, but it's kind of fun to realize that the tradition still goes, the story is still alive. So that's the ark we're talking about. And the Philistine, it represented the presence and therefore the power of God. Where his presence is, there his power is. Remember that. When we talk about the presence, remember the power is not far away. It's right there with his presence. And so when they lost the presence, they lost the ark, they realized there was a vacuum in their lives. They had lost their connection with the living God. And then the Lord gave the Philistines doses of don't mess with God. Tell your neighbor, don't mess with God. And God says, you know, I was promised the children of Israel. And so he gave them doses of a few plagues, gave them the biggest part of it's in the Bible, gave them the biggest case of hemorrhoids. God has a sense of humor. And anyway, so that's it. Thank you very much. We have had enough. Give it back to the Israelites. So they take it back, but they have forgotten the ways of God. So they bring the ark back in the wrong way. That's not in the original instruction to Moses. The ark was to be carried. There were gold in the ark. There's gold inlaid and outside gold. The poles. There were poles that went through these little sockets, I guess, that they would put the poles through and carry it with human people who would love the living God. And instead, David forgot the instructions. And so they brought it, they put it on a cart with oxen kind of dragging it. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord. Instruments, tambourines. When they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand to the ark. It was about to tilt over. And the presence was so thick, it just electricity went through him, and he got electrified. God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Peres Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So as they say, hey, we need a temporary place to put the ark because we need to figure out we are messing up real bad. And they, now remember what I said, the ark represented the presence of God and therefore also the power of God. Where his presence is, there his power is. And so Obed-Edom says, if you want a place for the ark, bring it to my house. And for 3 months, the ark stayed in Obed-Edom's house. And guess what? The glory started just emanating and shining. And it prospered Obed-Edom. It prospered his herds. I mean, they multiplied. His sheep, his camels. The prosperity level went way up there. And he was so blessed. Now, it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. And all that belongs to him. Remember that. Say all that belongs to him. So it is not only when you say, Lord, bless me, but as his blessing comes, anything around you will be blessed. Okay, you, whoever touches your life, if they are good to you, they will be blessed. So that's you are a carrier of the blessings of God. That's for it is important. It's we take it, I can't say enough that it's important for you to regularly come and take communion as often as you can. And especially, therefore, we don't miss coming around the blessing of Calvary. So we gather around the miracle breakthrough of Calvary and what it represents. It is shining forth every day. His blessing, his breakthrough, his deliverance, his healing, every day, whatever we need. So it is like we need to be like Obed-Edom. That's an example for us. My house is going to be like Obed-Edom. That should be our confession. That anything I touch is blessed. Not only am I blessed, but anything I touch is blessed. And so David heard, this man is getting blessed out of his socks. And we need that blessing for the whole nation. So I got to bring up the ark to Jerusalem, so that everybody can be blessed by the presence of God. And so David went up. It's where last letter part of 12. Brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Say with gladness. Now it is not in fear. It is with gladness, with joy. Because he's bringing back the presence to Jerusalem. When those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Say, all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. That is the Levite's priest's outfit. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. So he brought it out. I mean, talk about being noisy. The house with shouting with the sound of a trumpet. So there were a lot of people who were blowing. Anyway, that's shofar sound. And by the way, God loves the sound of trumpets and shofars. And so when the king would be coming in, his presence is coming to Jerusalem. They are blowing shofars and they are shouting. So whenever we say, let's give a shout to the Lord, it's very biblical for us to shout before the Lord because his presence is coming. And as his presence is coming, there is victory for us. We will never be defeated because the presence is with us. So we are celebrating. Any plague, it is going to be annihilated in the presence of God. No plagues can stay. So as we welcome the presence of the Lord, even once again, may the waves of glory come and touch every part of our nation. We ask for the Carolinas, but we ask for the nation also. Lord, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. So that would automatically happen. As the Lord would arise, his presence would come, his glory would emanate so mightily in his blessing that the enemies would run seven different ways. And so it is worthy of a shout. It is worthy of dancing. That dancing was before the Lord. And so that's why part of what I'm seeing is the revival of our relationship, in that revival of our families, restoration of our cities, restoration and revival for all our children, mighty blessing and promotion for our the finances. You find that, you know, in a few years from then, the Queen of Sheba comes. She herself is a queen of one of the wealthiest countries at that time, and when she comes to Israel and sees the wealth and the prosperity of Solomon, she says, I thought I knew what wealth and blessing was. I hadn't seen anything yet. And she is, this is the Lord's doing. Is totally, we ourselves are just walking towards it. But I want the Lord's presence to shine in all our lives. His prosperity comes at whatever you touch. And therefore, we can once again be a mighty giving nation, that as he prospers us, then we can do more to bless the widows and the orphans in the world, that where there is poverty, we can come and help them, heal those people, and protection be sent. And that's, we are sending them. But if we ourselves are under a yoke, how can we set other people free? So it is important and key that when you receive freedom, that you watch over it and declare and be jealous for the presence of the glory with you, so that you can continue, you and your children can continue to prosper. I want to take a pause just for a moment to say, as David starts moving the ark of the Lord with worship, see, they are worshiping the Lord like fanatics. As so David and the house have brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet, and they're worshiping. They are pleading the blood, by the way. At every few steps, they gave a sacrificial offering to the Lord with blood, and it's a shadow of what was to come with the blood of the Lamb that would wash and cleanse all the sins of mankind. It is through the blood of the Son of God. but they are bringing up the shout. With a shout of triumph, the ark of the Lord. And the footnote I was going to give you was that as the ark is now goes up, which represents the presence of the Lord, a side note is that Obed-Edom says, I want me and my family to be around his presence, around worship, around thanksgiving and praise. And he had 8 sons. And he became a gatekeeper for the ark as it rested in Jerusalem. Obed-Edom and then his sons joined the army of the Levites and to watch over the and watch over the worship, watch over the presence, and serve the presence of the Lord. So he didn't say, okay, well, it's gone from my house. He went for it and said, we choose the presence of God. And I want to hang around the presence of God all my life. And not only me, my children are going to hang around the ark of the Lord. So generations of the house of Obed-Edom were blessed by the ark of the Lord. So in that, the final thought then, here. Now, verse 16. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So she was a snooty, spoiled brat. Even when she grew up, she did not lose her snootiness. Have you met some people like that? They just, anyway. So they brought the ark of the Lord, set its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. This is the season they call the tabernacle of David. Might be great for us to once again, I've talked a little about it, but I love teaching on the tabernacle of David. I mean, and then the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness. They are just beautiful studies of the presence of God. Then David offered burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. Remember now, don't ever take a wrong spirit when we are worshiping, we are blessing the work of the Lord like we have done. As I said, when I was seeing those Iraqis coming and worshiping the Lord, I felt like I was so glad that when we had a chance and when we could directly bless and feed those people, and when they were in the most oppressed situations, that we were able to give medical care. One time in one area one area of the Middle East, the only antibiotics that were available for a certain region were the ones that they were able to purchase through our offerings. So that, I just want you to know, as we continue, we have been through our offerings, all that we are strengthened, we bought that ambulance for Jerusalem. Or we have been helping give heat to the poorest Native American Indian reservations here in the United States. So it is a joy for us to come and worship the Lord and give our offerings. And through the offerings, then, we can be generous and loving and show compassion to others. So then he distributed, it says. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings, verse 18, and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. How about that? He serves a banquet. It's fun. And all the people departed, everyone to his house. So he had been in the presence, he is in the presence, and through the presence then he blesses the people. Say, he blesses the people. So it's in the presence we are able to be strengthened in being able to give strength and blessing to others. Then David returned to bless his household. So what was his end? He comes home now. He's headed. He's so excited about being in the Lord's presence and the Ark of the Covenant coming to Jerusalem. That David returned to bless his household. He had blessed everybody else. He's coming home now. And Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants. Whew, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." This is a good picture of pride and snootiness and the spirit of criticism, that nothing can, there are certain people that have been so into themselves and covered with the spirit of pride, critical spirit, bitter spirit, and that because she chooses that, and I believe she had a choice, here is a time of awesome celebration, the presence of God. The victory of Israel is being restored, and the prosperity of every household has come back. It's the glory has returned, and she chooses, nah, 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 nah. So you know what she was angry about was that here is King David. He's a king. He should be dressed like a kingly man, and he should maintain himself. And she is so into her own self, she does not understand the awesome glory that's emanating around. So glory can be present, but some people choose bitterness, critical spirit, and that's why as a pastor, I've always said, be careful that you choose not to hang around all the time. As if God sends you as a missionary to cannibals, and that's part of your ministry, I've been called to be cannibals and to be around bitter people. Then you can. But remember, I didn't send you forth. But it is, there is something that starts lowering your spirit, where it'll get smaller and smaller. So your soul will get smaller and smaller. You will get your personality. It'll be bitterness. And that bitterness leads to barrenness. And so you want to be around people who worship, who praise, who are loving, who are giving, who are generous. We are a people of praise and worship. So David said to Michael, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel." It was before the Lord. Say, before the Lord. "Therefore I'll play music before the Lord." So our worship is before the Lord. It is not to have a public big kind of demonstration, entertainment, as I would call it. It's not so much that. We are worshiping and praising him. So that's why it is important for us. Shout as loud as you can. David danced before the Lord. You want to dance? You can dance. I appreciate Hank and Pam Rooney coming up here and dancing. I said, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. They are not ashamed to dance. We are worshiping and praising God." And I'll be even more. "Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I'll be held in honor." Therefore, then you could see the final sentence here. It shows the result of having a critical spirit and a bitter spirit. "Therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." So in that culture especially, she was a wife of a king, and she was supposed to give him heirs, and she remained barren. So it does have its own fruit. As you worship and praise and thank the Lord, it'll have good fruit. When we turn negative and get away from the presence of God and depart from his presence, that too will produce the wrong kind of fruit. It'll produce barrenness and isolation. So I believe that was the result. But we don't want to focus so much on Michael, but on the return of the ark. And in that sense, God is, his ark is coming back. His ark is returning to our home, to our businesses, to our children. And as the ark is coming, he is setting us free, setting captives free, every member of our family and our neighbors' families. The ark is coming, and we celebrate and thank the Lord for deliverance, for healing, for salvation. And may it be blessed, not only you blessed, but your children, but not only your children, your grandchildren. I mean, generations were blessed because he said, Lord, your ark is welcome. Your presence is so wonderful, and we want to worship you. And so with this revival that we are getting, part of it will be your revival of your heart, revival of your life, revival of your finances, and revival of worship and praise. So the praise is returning from the heart. The Lord is restoring worship. And so I appreciate Kalani being here, and always appreciate and thank our worship team. I thank Michael, I thank Armin, I thank Jenna, I thank every member of the orchestra for their faithfulness. And that as the presence comes, then we want to lay hold of it and be faithful, not to take that for granted. Hold on to it jealously. Lord, we want your presence, and therefore we want your blessing. And remember, the atmosphere is joy. Say joy. And it's with joy he brings the Ark of the Covenant. He dances like a fanatic, and critical spirits can say, nah, 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 they do this, they raise their hands, they don't. And hey, that's great. We're going to be even, what was David? Hey, you think that's undignified? I'm going to be even more undignified, lady. Say, I'm going to be more. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the Ark come. Let the revival glory come over us. Thank you for restoration. I pray today, this morning, revival. God is reviving you again. God is reviving me again in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Just give him a big clap offering. In a moment, we're going to shout to the Lord. You ready to shout? And I'm going to ask Kalani and the team to come and lead us as we give one big shout to the Lord. And remember, this nation has seen waves of revival come that totally shaped our nation. Our Constitution was shaped in revival. And the revival comes with a great love. I don't want to go. The Lord, as he was writing, having me write down a lot of these things, so it was like a download I was getting, that there will be a revival of the Bible, revival of a love for the Word of God, that you will have a revival for his Word. You can't get enough of his Word. You love, and then you can't get enough of worship together as a church of Jesus to say, Lord, I want to just hang out around you and around your glory. Where the Lord is, his glory is there. Where the glory is, wow, whoo, healing is there. Glory. Infirmities are gone in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to shout to the Lord? Okay. If you have a shofar, anybody have a shofar? At least I brought. Theora had to go be somewhere else. I know. So we're going to blow the trumpet. The ark is coming home. Amen? And then as I blow the trumpet, then you can give a big shout after that, okay? All right. Yay! Now shout. Glory! Glory! Oh! Hey! Praise God. And as they worship, lead us in that worship, I'm going to ask our healing and prophetic team to come up and help. There are people whose lives need to catch this wave of revival. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, now is the time. Sarah, I want to confess the Lord. If you've never been received the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to receive it right now. There are people ready to pray for you. The atmosphere of the glory is here. Come. If you need a healing touch, a breakthrough, I believe that God wants to break every yoke and shadow. If you have been attacked recently, just a big attack, physically or on your finances, come and get prayer. We got people who will agree with you. They may anoint you with oil. However, they're going to pray for you the blessing of God. Are you ready? Glory. We're going to sing and worship. Then you'll be dismissed. Praise God.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.